Hello, and welcome to the Podcast of Steel. Here, I share news, reviews, my adventures, interviews, and more. You can always expect some Superman content from this show, but I'm a lover of all things geeky, so you never know what you're going to get. Now, let's leap into action with a brand new episode of the Podcast of Steel.
Hello, it is time for another episode of the Podcast of Steel, and my very special guest today is Brad Ricker, the man that made this book happen, a book that I've talked about so many times before, Superboys, a beautiful and highly in-depth story, a book about the two guys that made Superman my hero and so many other people's hero. They made it into existence, and Brad, I adore this book, and thank you for joining me today, sir.
Oh, Luke, thank you. It's really an honor to be on here. It's the pinnacle of Super Talk, and I don't say that lightly. So I really appreciate you having me on.
No pressure on me now, but there we go. But as I said, I've read this book many times. It's traveled with me. It came with me when I went to the Superman celebration back in 2018. And yes, we all know the story of Superman and the two guys that created it. But you made this book, and it is such a detailed look into this world that many people didn't know about. So we will get to that in a moment, and that wonderful book, Superboys. But to begin with, sir, what was your origin story, as it were?
Oh, wow. I don't think anybody's ever asked me that before. Well, it's a secret, Luke. And if I told you, you know, it would endanger those around me. I think my origin story is really simple, but I think it's what I've found is that it's really a common one, even though it's it kind of doesn't feel like that when you're going through it. You know, it's like everybody has everything traces back to your childhood, right? And no matter what you go through or what happens to you, or for some people, they find, I don't know if solace is the right word, but I turned to comics as a kid. I loved comics. And I loved comics in the 80s when it wasn't like really cool to be a kid and like comics. And I know like all the elders like me, like kind of say that, and people go, no, it couldn't have been that bad. Well, it totally was. Like,
it was, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I see now you go in libraries, it's like graphic novels. And if I would try and do that when I was a kid in my library, they would laugh at me. You know, you had to hide your comics like in your Trapper Keeper. And so, yeah, I always loved comics, I think, for one of the same reasons that a lot of kids do, that it's kind of another world, just a step away. I mean, it's hugely different from ours, but in our minds, it's like, this could totally happen, right? Like if you came into a lot of money, I mean, I hate to bring up the other guy so early in the conversation, but if you came into a lot of money and trained with the monks, you could totally be Batman. I mean, of course you can't, but it's that when you're a kid, you really feel like, you know, this could be me just a step away. And so it was comics that are my secret origin, that, you know, I loved books, like, you know, kind of regular books and movies and all that, but comics were the kind of the secret, that I didn't really know anybody else who liked comics. My brother read them and other people in the neighborhood, but back then it was a real, like, kind of, I think, more individualized thing.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we all find our different ways into comics, whatever the way they find us in life. For me, it was the TV show Smallville. And that's I woke up one day and it was on TV, and I recognized the character, recognized the stories. But from that TV show, I wanted to know more about the character when the series ended. So I got into Superman, and my love for Superman again came late into the game. But then through that came the comics, because I wanted to know more. And then over the years, as I've grown as a Superman fan, I've wanted to know more. More about the comics, more about the history, more about what makes my hero a hero. And that's what this book is a big part of doing. So I know you put a lot of hard work into this book. It's a whopper. It's a fantastic read. How did Superboys go from an idea to a reality?
Well, yeah, that's a good question, isn't it? So I love comics. But the kind of weird thing is people always get kind of is I didn't really like Superman. hang on, Luke. I'll get back to it. It's I like the X-Men, right? Okay. So it's the 80s and the X-Men were cool.
Mm-hmm.
Superman was kind of like your dad's superhero. And not that his stories weren't great in the early 80s, mid 80s, but you know, I'm just saying. But I didn't really get into Superman. But to go back to the dad thing, so I live in Cleveland. And my dad sold windows. He had his own company in Cleveland, and he would drive like on the weekends. He would throw me and my brother in the back of the station wagon and drive around Cleveland. And Cleveland's kind of a weird city because it once was like this like starting up booming metropolis, like the third biggest city in America or something like that. But then it kind of hit a wall. And nowadays, well, it looks a little better now, but back then, especially, you'd go through and there'd be this like really cool Art Deco skyscraper and then just like a lot of rubble. So it looked like Krypton. It looked like it was like this bombed out area. And my dad would always regale us with these tales of Cleveland because he knew the city in and out. And he said, did you know that Superman was created in Cleveland? And I loved Superman from the movie, of course, you know, the movie, the best ever. And and we would say, you're crazy. You know, we thought he was lying, literally, because here's Superman, the ultimate first superhero, the best.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, you know, I wasn't like the biggest fan, I acknowledged him easily as the best. There's no way he came from this disaster of a city. And I can say that because I live here. I still live here. So it just started something ticking in my head that not only just like you did with Smallville, like you kind of want to know more. Mm. Like everyone gets their Superman from a different start, but then there's so much history of different versions and different iterations that you just want to know more because it's such a good concept. And I wanted to know more, but I really wanted to know how. Because it's such a strange, and as I got older, I started to think, you know, well, what made them, you know, it's the first superhero, and I'll argue that forever. You know, people always say, well, it was the Lone Ranger. I'm like, it's not the Lone Ranger had a mask. That doesn't make him a superhero. But now I forget what I was talking about, but it goes from, I really wanted to know how they did it because I wanted to do it myself. You know, back then you want to write this stuff, you want to, and that just would not let me go. And it wasn't until decades later that I found myself in a spot where I think I can answer this question. Cause to me, nobody had answered how they did it. You know, just that, oh, they created, Jerry was tossing and turning one night and there's Superman. And when you get older, you realize that's not where how great ideas are born, right? They take a long time and a lot of hard work. And I thought it was kind of condescending to be truthful about the idea of Superman. So that's what got me started.
And I like that, the fact that you didn't just want, as I said, it wasn't just a flash in the night, just an idea hit him. It was an idea that had evolved over many years and many parts of his life that made this character a creation. And that's what you get from this book. You don't just sort of got to get chapter one. The night the idea came to them both, it's a steady read and you get to join this journey with the boys, with their families, with their classic line of trials and tribulations. And you get that from this book. And as a Superman fan, it's one that I recommend to as many people as possible. And you're, as I said,
thanks, Luke.
No, I'm going to be doing this a lot because I'm so happy to speak with you. It's a fantastic, fantastic story. And yes, you know, as a fan, like yourself, you wanted to learn more about this character. And it's not always easy. You can go onto a lot of websites and get some, you know, untrustworthy information about certain aspects of these things that you like. But you put the hard work in by doing the research, doing the interviews. And, you know, they're from your, again, your home state. So there's definitely some hometown pride there involved as well. What was it like for you on this journey going into this book, learning more about this character?
I was definitely not prepared for it. I mean, I was prepared for it because I was older. I had this kind of background now as I knew how to do research, you know, which I certainly didn't as a kid. And I kind of knew where to start. But I just wasn't prepared. Excuse me. I wasn't prepared that I would find so much. And I found pretty early on that there was definitely a big story here. That what other people had kind of, and I think part of that's a Cleveland thing, is you know, people would tell the story, and it is a good story, you know, that he tosses and turns at night, and then like the idea pops out of his head. That's a good story, but it doesn't mean it's the truthful one. And I soon found out that there was so much more that we didn't know about both of the guys and their families and just Superman himself. And it staggered me and still does. Because, you know, somebody will come along and write another Superman book like this. And, you know, obviously I hope they do, because there's more out there. But what I was really surprised by is also what I'm really happy with, is that it turned out, and I would have never guessed this in a billion years, is that Superman, like you said, and I'm only saying this because you brought it up, is kind of like an autobiography. And when I started, I was like, oh, they wanted to create this, like everyone says, create this character to like fight the Great Depression and crush the Nazis. And I mean, that's all there, totally. But it's also, it comes out of both of them, making him like a work of art, because that's art. You know, they didn't do it. They did, you know, they wanted to make money for sure, but they didn't do this. Someone didn't come to them like the other guy. Can we say Batman on this?
You can, yeah.
All right, okay. I like Batman too. Like Batman, where they say, okay, you guys make me something that's going to sell, mm-hmm. right? And make me something like Superman, basically, is what they say. And that's more, not that Batman's not a work of art, because he certainly turned out that way, but it comes, that's like a commercial enterprise.
Yeah.
That's work for hire, right? And Superman, the boys, Jerry and Joe, they came up with it on their own, and their whole lives are in that character. And that just blew me away.
It is. It's, you know, if you're going to write a character based on what you know, and yeah. sort of the vision of yourself that you see as your best, the best version of yourself, Superman's not a bad character to create. I mean, it says a lot about one's ego, but
oh, yeah.
that's the power that creation has, and the power of imagination of these two guys, which is what we see in this book. You've mentioned that there's lots of information in this book, and there's some fantastic stories. Do you have any favorites that happen in this book?
Oh man, I should have, I don't know. There's a lot of them. There's one that's like really small. It's just like the smallest possible detail, but I still like, I think it's like super cool. So they're trying, like Joe, you know, didn't go to art school, and all of a sudden he's drawing this action hero. So he's all self-taught, and you know, he takes a couple classes here and there, but they're not like posing Superman poses. And it boggles my mind how he learns all that. And he learns it by reading newspaper comics and copying them and all this. But there's this great bit that another like real life Cleveland hero was Jesse Owens, who was this this track star at Ohio State, and then he went to a bull track star and went to the Olympics and kind of won it all. And this is famously in Berlin, where, you know, he wins and then kind of sticks it to Hitler. And so they're drawing Superman, who's, you know, supposing to be the fastest man in the world. This is pre-Flash, and you can argue, as I'm sure you'll agree, Luke, that he is faster than the Flash, but you know
it's a fan theory that everyone loves to talk about, but come on, it's Superman.
I found this picture of Jesse Owens ready, you know, running on the track, and it matched up 100% with an early Joe picture of Superman. So he's modeling Superman after Jesse Owens, the best black athlete in the country. And it's just, I just love it, because there's so, you know, there's so much more to Superman than we think, because we see him now as this kind of giant corporate icon. You know, you can't touch Superman and you're going to get sued, right? And he's a white guy, and he's all, but there's so much more to him that just surprised me. For some reason, I just love that little detail.
And it's a good one, where you can sort of see the link again, that red string theory on a corkboard, of how all these moments interact between the boys' lives and that moment as well. But again, there's lots of fun tidbits in that throughout the book. One of the ones that I love was the fact that both the boys had a crush on a young lady named Lois. I line up.
Oh yeah,
it's all things like that sort of you learn when you read this book. Yes, we know so much about the character. We've read his stories over the years, but to get an insight into these two guys' lives, about how they came to be, how they had a friendship, how they had troubles in their friendship, and the business aspects of life as well. If a film could be made about that, this is the book that they're going to use this book. I'm absolutely sure of it.
And Hollywood, can you hear Luke?
Yes, listen to me, the gods that are up there, because Superman's always going to be a talking point. As we said, he was really the first superhero. He's one of the biggest icons when it comes to pop culture. He's like Coca-Cola. We know who Superman is, and now, you know, another person has taken on the reins. We've got James Gunn now making his next Superman film, and it's always going to be a character that's talked about. And I love that in years to come, yes, you did so much research with this book, and you've done a fantastic job of mentioning all the research in the back. Your name will be in those books in the future when it comes to talking about it. Will. I jest, but it will. Your name will be there as one of those people that has put in the footwork and made this book a reality. So thank you. I wanted to get that across in this podcast. I've already done it several times, but I'm so glad we finally got to speak about this book today. What was one of the hardest parts about this book for you?
Writing it. Because there was so much stuff, and I'd never written a book before. And every time I thought, well, I think I have enough, I would like go to the library and find more. Because there was just so much. And part of it, I was very lucky to be here, because there was like most of it was in Cleveland, and just people hadn't looked. And, you know, it's, I don't blame them. It's one of those things you don't like go look, you don't find it till you go looking for it. But it took a long time. Like the publisher says, well, it sounds like it took 10 years. Can we put that on the book? You know, it took 10 years of research. And I'm like, yeah, okay. But it wasn't like 10 straight years where I like came out at the end with like a beard, and it was like on and off, like with real life going on at the same time. So it was, my dad was sick at the time when I was finishing it. So I kind of wanted to do that for him, because he like started the whole thing. But it was just, yeah, I guess your question, what's the hardest part? That was the hardest part. It was also hard to sometimes in the beginning realize that I had to, these two have been like kind of set up as like, I'm not saying this the right way. Sometimes they're portrayed as very naive, very innocent. Sometimes they're portrayed as kind of jerks trying to get more money. Sometimes they're portrayed as like the heroes. And I realized early on that there was so much new stuff that I had, you know, I would have to like chip away at kind of all three of those, that they were not perfect human beings. You know, they made mistakes. They weren't friends all the time. Everyone said they're best friends their whole life. No, they weren't. But who is, right? So I very quickly got beyond that and said, you know, I'm just going to tell the truth. And I left it all in there. And it's always like when you're dealing with a subject like this, you always are kind of, and this is my first book, but you're a little like, you know, I don't want people to get mad. I don't want people to get angry. I don't want people to file a lawsuit. But at the end, I realized I can't worry about any of that stuff. I'm just going to tell the truth. And I'm so glad I did that because I never heard one, you know, even the stuff that doesn't portray them in the best light. I think it portrays them as human. I think people appreciate that. And I was just real, real grateful for that, you know, response to it.
Yeah, I mean, certainly hearing the good and the bad sides about them brought me a closer connection to these two guys that created my hero.
Yeah,
Sadly, I'll never be able to sort of sit down and in a room and ask some questions about how they created them. But with this book, you do get, as you said, the truth. You get a massive insight into their world. And you talked about their naivety, that some people believe that. I think it was it $130 they sold them off for? And I mean, you think that's even sort of back decades ago, almost a century ago, that's so cheap. What were you thinking? Yeah. But you get an insight into this book as to why and the process afterwards and why they wanted not, as you said, just more money. It wasn't just the greed. It was the honor of being the people that created Superman. Mm. And that's what I love to see now. Whenever there is a new film that comes out or a new animation, it says, you know, we're using Superman thanks to the Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster family. So that's always... Yeah. That's a nice little nod that's always going to be seen. And I think James Gunn will more than likely do that in his Superman film. He's already been very open with his love for Superman and comics. And that's going to be an exciting thing that I'm ready for the future. But another aspect of Superman's life that you have had is that you've interviewed Mark Waid, one of the ultimate Superman writers, a guy that I look up to. I managed to speak with him a few years ago, and that's a wonderful interview. That's cool. That is available. The link to that YouTube video will be in this podcast. What was that like, sitting down with Mark and talking about comics and Superman?
It was kind of tough because I've done this enough now, like talk to people and interview people, that, you know, I don't want to say it doesn't faze me, but you kind of realize that everyone's just a person, right? Even the famous people. I interviewed Henry Winkler on stage, Fonz, and I was like, and just like the nicest guy on the planet. And you know, all these people are the same. They're just people like us. But Wade was, because like you, I'd grown up reading all of his stuff. Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, up there in the top whatever of Superman writers. And, you know, people like us, we always revere the writer, you know. We're kind of like, oh, the Hollywood celebrity. Oh, he wrote Superman. Oh, he wrote Birthright. Yeah, Kingdom Come. So it was hard to come up with questions. Because I wanted to do things that he's been interviewed a zillion times, that he hadn't heard, but at the same time, like, get to kind of questions that people, Superman people want to know about. So it was great fun. He is amazing. And again, he's like you talked about, James Gunn, you know, has this kind of, you can kind of feel the Superman love come from him. It's the same thing from Wade. I mean, you're dealing with a genuine, from Mark, I shouldn't call him Wade, from a real genuine place that us nerds kind of can see, you know.
We get we can see it's not sort of a like a
fake, it's not fake
fake fan, as it were. It's like, yeah. Well, this guy, as I say, they get it. And that's, again, something else that I got from this book from you. Even though, you know, as you said, Superman isn't your number one superhero, you're from that hometown. You're from Cleveland. You're from Ohio. There's that connection to it, which I love. Have you been to that house in Ohio, the Superman house?
Many times. And just to be clear, Superman wasn't my favorite as a kid, but now after this, 100%.
There we go.
Because once I realized what went, it's just like, yeah, I mean, there's nobody else. But yeah, no, I've been in the house many times. again, my dad drove us by it, and I finally went in just when I was starting the project. I went there with my girlfriend, and we got there, and I was like too nervous to go in. There was somebody on the front porch. I'm like, I can't do it. And she like shoves me out of the car, and she's like, hey, can we see that? And Mrs. Gray, who lives there, let me in and took me up to the room. And it is, you know, I think you should make the journey at some point, my friend, because it is
it's my bucket, so definitely on my bucket list. I'm getting goose pimples the fact that you were in said room, the room where it happened, as it were. But
right, you get a chill, get a sense, because you're in the room where he thought about it, right? And it makes you realize that all this like huge corporate stuff, Superman, comes just from a kid, right? Really. And that's like the best part of the whole story, that, you know, dreams come true, and cue the dramatic soundtrack. But yeah, I hope, because they're going to be in a beautiful bit of, I don't think, irony at all. They're going to be, I think it's a testament to two things: tax breaks. And I think, you know, I don't, you know him obviously, but to the respect for the character, they're filming parts of the new movie in Cleveland, in the summer. And I'm hoping that he'll go out and see the house. And I would like bet almost anything that they would.
I mean,
the ground zero. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that it's, I'm sure he's very aware of it. The research that he's shown, and he's shared photographs of his office where there's some fantastic panels from some iconic Superman stories. Mm. He knows about.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. He knows about Ohio. He knows about the history. So for him to choose this location for some of the filming, it's a beautiful tie-in. And that's why I'm hoping in this film there will be some, not only recognition of the hero. I mean, it was originally called Superman Legacy. So I think he will be hopefully shedding some light on the place, on the house, on the boys, on the history of this. So yeah, if you get an email from Mr. James Gunn saying, hey, I'm coming down, do you want to hang out for 10 minutes?
I'll see what I can do. I have three kids.
bring them down. We'll be fine.
No, I think it'll be great. I think whatever he does, I think he's like kind of shown that he's, like you said, one of the real ones. So I'm just, you know, happy to see what he comes up with. I think it'll be great.
And I mean, that's the thing. It's this isn't my first Superman movie rodeo, as it were.
I've
seen actors come and go before. I've seen directors and stories not even make it onto the big screen. But we're still getting Superman stories. We're still getting people excited. And again, that's a testament to the character and a testament to the boys, that after all these decades, people are still talking about that idea, about a simple idea that has jumped from their mind to the pages, to comics, to TV shows, to t-shirts, toys, and to this book It's something that I say a lot is the tapestry of Superman. There's so many connections from one thing to the other. And you, sir, are you're a big part of that tapestry for me and many others. So again, another thank you's coming your way. I'm sorry, but they continue to come your way. What's next for you, sir? What's going on in the world of Brad Ricker?
Comic stuff. Well, maybe some comic stuff, but there's a I'm working on a book right now on Houdini, the magician.
Ooh, nice.
And it's very painful and but it's going along, so we'll see.
It's one of those characters of history that's always been a great story, a great sort of personality, and one of those characters that jump off the history pages. I think there's been a few Houdini films over the years.
Oh yeah, yeah.
A book like this about the world of Houdini and learning how he, you know, learned his trade, as it were, back before internet was a thing, before research was a
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
How'd you go about learning to be an escapologist when there's no one to ask questions to? That's when you have to sort of travel around the world, much like Batman did.
Like Batman, yeah.
when he learned his trade. So that I'm interested about. So that'd be a good one.
Ooh, that's cool. I never thought about the Batman angle.
Oh, great. Now he's going to be back in another book. Ugh, what have I done? What have I done? But again, it's how we relate to real life sometimes. It's what would Batman do? What would Superman do in this situation? How can I, you know, be like my hero? So yeah, that's going to be something that I will definitely be looking out for. This book, as I said, it means a lot to me. What was it like when you finally got a copy in your hands, a real life copy?
Oh man, it was because they didn't send me one. This is my first book, and I guess whatever. So I knew it was coming out, obviously, and it was like supposed to come out like the next Tuesday. And I went to a some kind of local like literary conference or whatever, and this local bookstore was there, and I know the owner of it, and she's like, "Oh hey Brad, we got your book," and she points up, and I was like, "Oh," I just like fell over and froze. I couldn't believe it. I still, to be tell the truth, I still don't believe it. If I like see it, and I'm like, really? It's really strange. But it's cool. It's definitely. I think it's like anything. You know, everyone kind of has their thing. You know, whether they'll like start a big project, right? Like you're tiling the bathroom, which is like impossible. I think I would just go crazy doing that. But if you do it, you know, it takes forever. And then at the end, you like step back and maybe it's not perfect, but only you can kind of see the imperfections. And at that point, who cares? Because it's done. There's nothing you can do. And you just feel like it's not even you feel good, but you just feel like I did that. And I sometimes think about like, well, I feel like this way about this book. You know, imagine how they felt about Superman. You know, that they make this thing and it's all of a sudden it's everywhere and then it's just like taken away. And then you realize, you know, just like the height of it, but also like just the staggering depths of what that must have felt like.
But again, you put it beautifully, the fact, you know, just a task like tiling the bathroom. There's a beginning, there's a middle, and there's an end. And sometimes you can't see that finish line, that last page or that last tile, as it were. But it's there. And if you keep at it with determination and patience, you'll get there. And you did, sir. And you've got this book to prove it. And with some fantastic quotes on the back by another fantastic Superman person, Jeff Loeb, you know, who's part of my tapestry of Superman, as he was a fantastic co-creator of Smallville. And Stan Lee, of course, one of the, you know, those infamous names in comics, who said the truly amazing biography of two of the most important names in popular fiction. It's a book no pop culture fan will want to miss, and that includes yours truly. And yeah, as you know, as a quote goes, it's not a bad one. I'm surprised you've not got that on a t-shirt today, Brad. But
well, it's It's funny because they said, I mean, I had no idea what I'm doing. I still don't have any idea what I'm doing, but they're like, we're gonna get Jeff Loeb. And I worship Jeff Loeb. I love, Smallville. Superman, A Man for All Seasons is as good as it gets. But he's just a tremendous comics writer, I think. And then they're like, we could try Stan Lee. I have a number, an email. They're like, and I knew from being a comics fan, the unwritten rules that Stan Lee blurbs like everything. Like if you'll throw it in front of him, he'll. And but they what I was surprised by are two things. They told me he, I mean, this was a while ago. This was 10 years ago, but he said, he does read it. And he goes through it. He does his blurb. It's not an assistant. I don't know what happened later on, but it's a sad story. But yeah, and they're like, Stan Lee will blurb anything. But then they sent me back this, and I just like stared at it because I didn't care if he blurbed everyone. Is that he did? I just couldn't believe it because I grew up a Marvel zombie, and Stan Lee's a. He's the high priest. So regard, and then you obviously there's other stuff, but when you're a kid, it's
Is
Stan
that
Lee. So it's still crazy to me.
it's a fantastic quote to have on your book. And I mean, yes, you did a fantastic job with it. If you had a time machine and you were able to go back in time and speak with Jerry and Joe,
Ooh.
what would you like to speak with them about? Or ask them.
Nobody's ever asked me that. Because it's like I think of these books as imperfect time machines, right? Like the instant someone invents time travel, I am totally out of a job. Because then you can just go back and like record everything and there's your transcript and say, this is what happens. But until that point, and don't get me wrong, I love time travel, but they can hold off because I'm okay the way it is right now. It's kind of up to like people like me to like find all the data and build like the best possible vision of it. Is it true? I don't know, right? I can't say I don't have a time machine. But this is the best I could do. So I don't, the version of that question I get, notice I'm not answering it. The version
You're
I
doing very
usually
well.
get is, and this was, I think, I don't know, this question always throws me because they're like, if you go to the afterlife, which A implies that, I'm dead, which is not always like the best thing to ask your guest. Well, you're gonna die soon.
Let's talk about
Yeah, if you go to
that.
the afterlife, what do you say to Jerry and Joe? And I thought about that, and I always kind of picture it that we're like sitting in like a couch or something. I don't know why I equate the afterlife with like a nice velvet couch, but
It's
why
comfortable.
not,
It's
right?
comfortable. Yeah, no.
And we just like look at each other and go, and just like walk away. 'Cause I feel like I really know them. Like really well. I mean, do I have no idea. I mean, I did the best job I can. I mean, some people who did know them have come and said, you got this right. Or I, asked them beforehand, what was, or and some people have said, like, no, this isn't right. But if I w could go back in time and ask them one thing, oh, that's so hard. Only one thing, that's the
You,
hard part.
no, well, you can have a full-blown conversation. You can ask or talk
Who
about
would it
whatever you
be?
want to. Yeah.
But
No,
it has to
no.
be one person.
No, it could be anybody. Yeah, it could be Jerry, it could be Joe, it could be anybody through time.
Oh, but it's related to Superman or no?
No, well, no. I mean, I'd love to know if you were sort of in a room and you could interview the two guys, what would you want to talk to them about? I mean, you've got such a strong connection to them through the studying that you've done and that research, as you said, it's impossible to know if it is all true, but the fact that you've got so many references in the back of your book of where you did your research and who you spoke with and what you read, it's
Yeah.
there's so much in there that has to be accurate. But if you could just Have a conversation with them both. Oh, nope, we got something. What have you got?
No, I think you just trade. I think there's one thing in the book that I think I supported with like a ton of facts.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, they're all facts like around it. They're, Jerry never comes out and says it ever. Mm-hmm. But I have like just a mountain of facts that made me okay to say it. And that was, and I've gotten like some people have said, like, I totally agree with this. And people say, oh, you're crazy. Is that it was the death of his father that really, that was Superman. And I think I've, you know, if this was like a 10th grade term paper, I'm like really confident in my evidence. I have like evidence from the text, right?
Yeah.
But he never comes out and says it. No. He says it in his stories. He says it through other characters, says it through Superman. But I think I would ask him, you know, was that it? Or was that just a coincidence? Because it could be, you know, it could have been a coincidence. But I think I would ask him that. Just because I'm that always, that surprised me. And other people, you know, started that before me. They noticed that. But I kind of got into it a little more. But I would like to know that just for my own.
And that's, I mean, it's something that's happened in the Superman stories throughout the ages, is the fact
that
Superman's father, sometimes fathers pass away. And it's a big cornerstone in his life. My own father passed away when I was 15. And I used that.
Sorry to hear.
Thank you, sir. But I use that part of the story as my connection to Superman, to see how he dealt with it, to see how different versions of Superman over the years got through that, because everybody goes through their own grief a different way, whether that be reading comics or doing whatever. But that, as questions go, it would have been a very good question to ask. So well done on taking so much time.
It was a tough one. That was good.
I'm glad. I wanted to get into this wonderful mind of yours, and I feel I have a little bit. Now, as I said before we recorded this podcast, when this episode is live, there will be a giveaway going for a copy of this wonderful book, a worldwide giveaway, because I want as many people around the world to read this book. And if I can help just one person learn a little bit more about Superman and Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, thanks to you, I want to make that happen. Thank you for your time today, sir. I've got my last question to ask you, but before I do that, where can people find you online, Brad?
I kind of left the awful place.
The bad place, they call it.
What's that?
The bad place, the other place.
The bad place, the other place. That sounds like Batman's place. No, I left that place. I just couldn't. I miss it, but I just couldn't do it. Mm. And no judgment if anybody's still on there, because I'm a little jealous. It was a fun place in its time. So now I'm on Facebook. You know, you can just type my name in. Instagram, same thing. And I'm on Threads, which I like so far. I think it's just Brad-Ricka. And I've been putting some Superman stuff
you have.
On there.
I've noticed. I mean, as you said, Threads is a new thing. So it's a new baby, as it were. But it's starting to take shape. So I will leave a link to your Threads in the bio as well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's been good for comics so far. There's less like screaming. I feel like Superman is going, it's going to be the new movie is going to drive that. But I think there's something different than like the other new movies that there were, you know, and no disrespect to them, because I like Superman, so I like any of it. But I feel like there's a real shift happening that we've had like since the mid-80s, we've been like in a Batman era. And I feel like it's partially what's going on in the world, what's going on in us, that we kind of like to act out what's happening by liking Batman. And there's nothing wrong with liking Batman. I like Batman just fine. But I feel like we're making that And I feel like they we're making the shift now, I think, towards a Superman, which I is good for, you know, good for you and me, Superman people, but it's good for the world, right? Have a little light instead of the darkness. So we'll see. I could be wrong, but
it's not the first time I'm hearing this outlook, though, and I love it because I feel the same way. As you said, there's a bit of a we can see more, a little bit more hope, perhaps a little bit more joy in the character. And if we get a glimpse of that, I mean, James Gunn's been very clever with what he's revealed so far. There's not been any sort of a look or any costume reveal, but he's revealed a cast and they all seem to have so much love for this film. Of course, they're promoting a movie. They're going to be positive about it, but their love for that part of the film and what James Gunn is doing, it's making me feel very hopeful and excited. Yeah. That's what I like. And the fact that more Superman fans are coming out of the woodwork. We're getting the original fans coming back and talking about things what that they love about Superman. But we're also getting this excitement and this joy for the unknown that we will be getting pretty soon. And with James Gunn's love for storytelling and world development and the fact now that he is working in DC for the future, I'm very excited. It's a fun time for sure.
Yeah, and for definitely, I agree with all that. And even the you know, the comics too have kind of made, I think, kind of a turn, and where they're kind of embracing that kind of Superman. The one Mark Waid's doing, the World's Finest, is I think the best Superman comic I've read in 10 years.
Wow.
Phil Kennedy Johnson's Action Comics was
phenomenal.
Tremendous Superman stuff. He was in Cleveland a few months ago and he went to the house. And I saw him the night before, but I wasn't with him when he went to the, I don't know if this is like public knowledge, but he went to the house and went up to the room and said, "I'd like to be alone."
Oh.
You know, so he gets it too.
He gets
right?
it. I mean, that's my
one. He's one of us. Yeah.
That's a bucket list moment for me to be not only outside that house and to see it, because I know people from around the world it's there and there's a plaque outside. It's getting recognition. But to be able to just, can I have just a moment alone in this room just to literally feel the history in that room, feel the magic happening. The goose pimples are back. I'm getting a little bit tingly. But
and that's who wants to go, are writers. I mean, Mark Waid was at the house years ago. Brad Meltzer famously, you know, visited the house. And then he was the one who said, "We've got to restore it."
Yeah.
And he raised all this money through an auction with his friends to, and now it's all restored. And there's this cool fence and one more thing I can say too, if anyone like you is thinking of visiting our fair city, we've just gotten the kind of go ahead to do their long awaited, like decades in the making, statue of Superman in Cleveland. And this is not going to be, it's really cool. And they're not like letting people show the pictures of it. Some people have, but it's, if you like Superman, and which I love, you know, that part's great, but there's also something for Jerry, Joe, and Joanne, who was the physical model for and kind of emotional model for Lois Lane. So it's going to be awesome. And that's next year would be a good time to visit Cleveland. I'm just saying.
That's the thing. I'm looking at more travel in my future, and
I know it's a long slog. I've been to where you are.
No, but I know. I'll tell you. I know that I am going to be there one day. It's one of those things where I've over the years had such a strong connection with the character, and then again, thanks to this book, it's more information about this state. about its history. I love walking and I love going out and about. And when I need a good song to listen to, I've got a playlist on my phone for the Ohio State Marching Band, because I absolutely adore not only their showmanship, what they can do on the pitch and off the pitch, but I love the music. I love their passion for putting on a great show. And over the years, I've known some people that have traveled and those that live in Ohio and Cleveland. And I'm often getting photographs of the airport because you've got a little Superman shrine there when they come in. So I've definitely got a bit of a kindred spirit with the state, with the people, with the history. So if you feel that next year is a good year for me to attend, then next year is a good year for me to attend. And I'm often on Google Earth walking up and down that street. So waiting to see if any houses become available next door to it, because I want to be I want to be Superman's neighbor. That's what I want to be.
Well, that's not a bad place. It's good real estate value in Cleveland these days, all over. The one of the funny things we did when we restored the house is we got like kind of of like unofficial street signs, and we renamed. They're all still there. There's one on the street where Jerry lived, and it's called Jerry Siegel Street. And Joe, of course, lived just a couple blocks down. Mm-hmm. That's why they were best friends. Well, it's not why they were best friends, but it doesn't hurt, right?
Doesn't hurt.
We named his Joe Schuster Street, and the street that connects them is, of course, Lois Lane. So there's a lot of cool stuff. Those of you who are out there, and now this sounds like a tourism advertisement for Cleveland. If everybody will come and be like,
"That's fine,
really?" It's great. You should come if you like Superman.
Yeah, this episode of the Podcast of Steel, sponsored by Ohio, the whole state. That'd be fantastic. I'm fine with that.
But we'll have some stuff next year going on. So some stuff. So yeah, anybody Superman fans, please, keep your ears open.
I'm looking forward to that, and I will be getting in touch with the Fine Tourism Board of Ohio. So hopefully I can share as much news of that as possible. Brad, thank you. Thank you so much for your time today. This has been an absolute pleasure. I knew you were going to be a fantastic guest, and this interview has finally happened. Hopefully the first of many. That's what I'd like to say. But Brad, as I said, thank you not only for this book, but for your time today. As ambassadors for Superman go, you are up there. You've done some fantastic work on helping to keep the history of Superman out there and for people to read. And as I said, there will be links to this book below. There will be a link to the giveaway. My final question for you today, a question that I love to ask people all around the world in my day-to-day life and interviews, is what does Superman mean to you?
Oof. It's the basic stuff, you be good to people. You help people, even when it's difficult to. I mean, that's kind of the surface stuff, but it's really it's a couple things. I mean, this is not just one answer. It's Clark Kent too, because Clark has to so often restrain himself, kind of, and that there's so much power in his Clarkness, right? His people say, oh, he's meek and he's boring. And no, he's just Clark, right? He's just a guy. And he's just trying his best. And he gets to do this thing where nobody knows it's him. I mean, now like everybody knows it's him, but really nobody knows it's him. So there's no glory in it, right? You don't do it for the money. You don't do it for the, you just do it to do it. And that's not Superman. That's Clark to me. And I never, I have to give credit where credit is due. I first like learned that version of Superman from Brad Meltzer. The first time I met him, the first thing he literally said was, "Superman is Clark Kent." And it just kind of, I'm like, oh, you're right. I mean, Superman doesn't exist. It's just Clark. And I know everybody debates that, and I love debating it, but I think it's Clark. But to me, then there's like kind of my personal version, because that one's kind of, I kind of ripped that off him. But mine is, what Superman means to me is that you can be a kid in Cleveland, Ohio, and you can have, you know, really no prospects. You're never going to college. You're not, you know, you don't have a lot, but you can have an imagination, right? And with that imagination, you can do whatever you want. That to me is Superman. It's not, and that was my goal with this book, was to expand Superman. So there's Superman, an infant crashes from the planet Krypton, and that, you know, this, I mean, that's the Superman I love, but that the story begins before, that it's an idea. And it's such a good idea, right? That you can have a good idea and it can change the world. I mean, it's simple. It's maybe it's nerdy and easy, but what the heck? I like it. So yeah.
Perfect. As again, it's a question that I love asking people. No answer is ever the same, but I love every single one. I think maybe one day in decades to come, I will sort of create a book of my own where everybody puts their answers in, because.
Ooh, that would be. That's a good idea.
And I mean,
ooh, that's a good idea.
Yours would definitely be in there, sir. But thank you so much for your time today, Brad. It has been an absolute pleasure. All the links to you and where you can find this book will be in the bio. I've said it so many times in this video and podcast, because I feel like I just have to thank you for this book. Thank you for this insight into Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, for giving me a stronger connection to the hero that means so much to me, because I know that without this book, I wouldn't be the Superman fan that I am today. So thank you one more time, sir.
You have no idea how much that means to me, Luke, because it really, you know, that's really what I had this like faint, like maybe I could do that, you know, and to hear that just means the world to me. And I really mean that. The only reason I keep chuckling when you thank me is because I forget, I haven't been to the UK in a long time, but I forget how similar the Midwest, the American Midwesterner is like the kind of British, lots of thanks. And I love it, because people make fun of the Midwest because we thank people a lot. We do two things a lot. We say thank you a lot, and we say I'm sorry a lot.
We do that a lot.
And I forgot, because I spent a lot of time over there, and how much it made me feel at home when I was there by myself. You know, people, thank you. So that's the only reason I'm chuckling, because it really does mean the world to me. So thank you so much.
I don't think this will be the last time that we're going to talk about this book or about Superman or things in general. It's been a wonderful chat today, and I shall do my very best, but I shall hope to see you next year when I come across the pond, because I feel that this trip is one that I need to make happen, sir.
Okay, great. I can't wait.
All right. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Luke. You're the best.